بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Before getting into the issue of what's the proper position, inshallah, in the salat during the tashahhud, whether you should point your finger without moving it, without making the tahriq, or whether you should point your finger and make the tahriq, let me make it very clear from the beginning that, as you all know, it is an issue that has some ikhtilaf in it. It's an issue that has some differences of opinion. There's a book that's been translated that all of you brothers should get it in English. And I believe we have it at the Sunnah, the Better. And it is called The Ikhtilaf, Raising the Blame Off of the Ulama. I think that's how they translated it. In Arabic, it's called رَفْءُ الْمَلَامِ عَنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْأَعْلَامِ, Raising the Blame Off of the Ulama. And that book was written by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, who has a madrasa. And from the afrakh of his madrasa are all of those ulama that we know about: Al-Imam al-Mizzi, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim. So many of those ulama, Ibn Kathir, and some of them were even married to each other. So the point is, he wrote that book in order to show the Muslims the rahmah and the mercy of al-Islam in the issue of al-ikhtilaf, and how we're supposed to have an opinion concerning the ulama as it relates to the issue of al-ikhtilaf. Before going any further, let me make it perfectly clear. That hadith that says, اختلاف أمتي رحمة, my ummah's differences of opinion is a mercy, this is a fabricated hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say that, and this is not what I'm talking about, and this is obviously not what Ibn Taymiyyah was talking about rahimahullahu ta'ala. But we look at the many statements, like one of the statements that I found for him that was collected by an imam, Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was another tremendous scholar, and I just wanted to read this to you. He has said, Ibn Taymiyyah said, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ يَقُولُ إِجْمَاعُهُمْ حُجَّةٌ قَاطِعَةٌ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ رَحْمَةٌ وَاسِعَةٌ وَكَانَ عُمَرْ ابن عبد العزيز يقول مَا يُسُرُّنِي أن أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يختلفوا، لأنهم إذا اجتمعوا على قول فخالفهم رجل كان ضالا، وإذا اختلفوا فأخذ الرجل بقول هذا والرجل بقول هذا كان في الأمر سعة. That's a tremendous statement coming from the ilm of Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and the statements of those people from the Salaf like Al-Imam Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And I explain it to you. Ibn Taymiyyah said, and he was talking about the issue of ikhtilaf in the book. And for this reason, talking about the ikhtilaf of the companions, he said, and for this reason, whenever you find the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having an ijma' on something, all of the companions agreed upon something. Like Ali ibn Abi Talib is not better than Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman. All of them were in agreement upon that. He said, anytime you find that the ijma' of the companions, it is an argument, it is a dalil, it is a clear proof. And if you find them having ikhtilat, those companions, then it is a mercy. Then he went on to explain Umar ibn Abdulaziz. He said, it does not please me that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to have any ikhtilat. Because if they had agreed upon every issue, any human being who comes after that and they disagree on what the companions agreed upon, that man who goes against what they agreed upon will be astray. He will be from those who are dalin. But if they had ikhtilaf, Abu Bakr had one opinion, Umar had another opinion, someone else had another opinion, then if a man comes and a man takes his opinion and another man takes his opinion and another man takes his opinion, then that's going to be mercy on each and every one of those opinions. But of course there are some conditions to that statement. It's not just a general statement like that. You can believe whatever you want. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he never knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to have a relationship with your wife in her anus, akramakum Allah, is haram. He never knew that that was haram. So it's been authentically reported that that's his statement. Can someone say this is ikhtilaf between the Sahaba? No, it doesn't count right here. He didn't know that. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he never knew radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made haram muta' marriage. So he said muta' marriage is permissible. He never knew that it was mansukh. Now someone comes and says this is permissible because it's ikhtilaf from the companions. No, because all of those ikhtilafat are not permissible, and what applies to those ikhtilaf is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِشْ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you people have any differences amongst yourselves, then turn it back to Allah and His Messenger. So even if a companion had ikhtilaf and it went against the Quran or the Sunnah, we have to reject that ikhtilaf. We have to reject that opinion. Which brings us to the next point before we get into the issue, and that is, what is the ikhtilaf that's permissible in al-Islam and what's not permissible? There are three types of ikhtilaf. The first type of ikhtilaf is what's called ikhtilaf at-tanawwu. How would you translate that, akhi? Ikhtilaf of diversity, of diversification, of variety. And that ikhtilaf is permissible. It's the ikhtilaf that we have when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to do a particular thing, and he taught us to do it in different ways. Like what, Mahmoud? Like the dua al-istiftah, when you stand up to make salah, Allahu Akbar, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي. And you say that dua. Or another person can say, what dua, Abu Abdullah? Subhanaka Allahumma, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And there's so many examples of that. The ikhtilaf al-tanawwu of diversification in the tashahud, different things he used to say. This ikhtilaf is permissible. If you do this and he does that and he does something else, not only is it permissible, but it is highly recommended. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, he said, whenever you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something in different ways, then you should try to do it also in different ways. He would get up and make salam, and he would say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and say it out loud, and he would read out loud. And sometimes he wouldn't. And then he went on to say, but the things that he did the majority of the time, you should do it the majority of the time. And the thing that he did sometimes, you should do it sometimes. Ikhtilaf al-tanawwu. When you get ready to make the salat of the janazah, you can make 5 takbir, 6 takbir, 7 takbir. And the ijma of the sahaba, what Umar radiallahu anhu put the people on, was 4 takbir. But any of that is okay. So the ikhtilaf al-tanawwu of variety is okay. The other ikhtilaf that is permissible is what is called ikhtilaf الأفهام. The ikhtilaf that comes as a result of understanding. You can understand from that one ayat or from that one hadith different things. For an example, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. All of you hold on to the rope of Allah and don't be divided. The habl of Allah, different opinions. The habl of Allah is the sunnah. The habl of Allah, the rope of Allah is the Quran. The rope of Allah is al-ikhlas. The rope of Allah is the arkan of al-Islam. The rope of al-Islam of Allah is a tawheed. All of that is the same thing. All of them can be applicable. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is the way of the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhu. It's the way of the Salihin al-Mujahideen and the Shuhada. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you all know, in the battle of the Khandaq, when Allah Ta'ala destroyed the plans of the Kuffar and he sent them away, it was an agreement that he had with the Jews that the Jews would protect the east of Medina and they wouldn't let anyone come in. It was a contract that they had with him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built a ditch in front of Medina that was facing Mecca so the people couldn't come in to the west, to the south. And behind, between the Khandaq and Medina was Uhud. So the people couldn't come all the way around. They weren't worried about that. And they couldn't come this way because the Jews were there. The Jews were going to let those kuffar in to get the Muslims from the weak spot. So after Allah sent the wind against the kuffar and blew them away and they went away and they went defeated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down to rest. Jibril came to him alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, "Have you put your weapons down? For verily I and the other angels, we haven't put our weapons down. Let's go to the place of Bani Qurayza." Those Jews who had broke the contract just like their brothers before him. So it shows that the Malaika, they fight with the Muslims. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded and he told his companions, لا يسلين أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريظة. Don't let anyone pray Salat al-Asr except in Bani Qurayza's place. And you all know the hadith. When they went to get him, Salat al-Asr came. When the Asr time came, they stopped. Some of them say, "Hey, we have to pray right now because the ayat in the Quran that Allah revealed, Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabun mawquta. The salat has been prescribed on the believers at a particular time. When the time come in, we have to do it." They asked the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, which are the deeds, are the best deeds?" He said, "As-salat ala waqtiha." To pray the salat as soon as it come in. Clear hadith, clear proof. That's what we understand. They said, "We're going to pray right now." The other people said, "No, he didn't mean that. He meant for us to hurry up, and he meant for us to not pray except there." Like Ibn Hazm said, he said, "Wallahi, if I was present when Rasulullah said what he said, me and the people who followed me, we would have went there. Even if Asr would have went out, we would have been fighting those people." Because he was the Zahiri madhab. When they told the Prophet what happened, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say anything to either group. Why? Because you can understand what you understood the right way, and you can understand what you understood the right way, and it's no problem. The third type of ikhtilaf is the ikhtilaf that's haram. And that is the ikhtilaf of tabab. The ikhtilaf of opposites, of opposition. They oppose each other. For an example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam never prayed with his hands to his sides, ever. So if a person comes and he says, "Abdullah ibn Zubair has brought the hadith and the musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba that's what he did," we say that's weak. He never did it. "But al-Imam Malik, we say he never did it. That ikhtilaf is not permissible. Celebrating the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ikhtilaf, not permissible. Making tawassul with other than Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, his names, his attributes, your good deeds, asking a living person to make dua for me, and you make dua while he's making dua. Anything other than that is not permissible. So those ikhtilafat are not permissible, ikhwan. This ikhtilaf that we have here of moving the finger or not moving the finger is an ikhtilaf that falls in one of these three. And we're not going to be people who are oppressive to the ulama. We're going to recognize our position. We're going to stop where we should stop, inshallah, and leave it up to you to determine your position and thus determine where you see this ikhtilaf falling into. Ikhwan, if you don't understand, just tell me to stop and I'm going to stop, because it's really self-explanatory and it's easy, inshallah. And really, most of us, we say that taqleed is not permissible, but really all of us are muqallidun, because we're not ulama. Some of the young brothers, they go around and they say to people, taqleed is haram. Yeah, everybody makes taqleed. No one here is a mujtahid. I don't know a single mujtahid in America. Wallahi, a mujtahid? You gotta make taqleed. Allah told us in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know something, you gotta go ask the people of knowledge. Then when you ask him, what are you gonna do? He's gonna give you a hukum. You don't have the ability to go and look it up and to research it. So what we have to do is, we don't make the ta'assum. We don't hold a person and an opinion, and when the truth comes to us, or what seems to be the truth, and we reject it. No, if it makes sense to you and your heart is easy with it, then you go with that. Here, the first hadith we want to deal with is the hadith that are telling us that these companions describe the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have different varieties of the description. But each hadith is telling a description of his salat from the beginning to the end. Each companion who's written in red, he described the prayer of the Prophet from the beginning sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the end. From the time he said Allahu Akbar, what he read, what he did, how he bent, how he came up, but there are variations in it. Some add something, some leave out something, but that's the general. Every single companion up here that's written in red, every single hadith said, when they came to the tashahud part, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed his finger. And not a single one of these hadiths says that he moved his finger. All of them said, فَأَشَارَ بِعُزْبُعِهِ. He pointed with his finger. Every single hadith. And we're going to come to the point of ikhtilaf. But let me just make it simple for you. The first hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubair رضي الله عنه, who was the first one who was born after the hijrah. You all know that, right? Abdullah ibn Zubair was the first one born after the hijrah. His mother was who? Ismail? Asma. And his father was Az-Zubair ibn Awam, one of the 10 people promised Jannah. When they made the hijrah to Medina, the Jews said to the Muslims, we put a curse on you, you can't have any babies. And they weren't having any babies. And you know, look at us. We always having babies. Muhammad came, Abdullah came, Hazm came, Hazm. We want to always have babies. I mean, even my mother, she always say, Muslims always having babies. And we say, Alhamdulillah. Right? We weren't told to do that. Zawiju al-wulud al-wudud. Fenni? Aish? So anyway, he was the first one who was born. Abdullah ibn Zubayr has a hadith that's in Sahih Muslim, hadith 112 and hadith 113, that describe the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it only mentioned pointing. No moving, only pointing. He has a hadith that's in Abu Dawud, hadith 988 and hadith 990, where it was described that he only pointed his finger. He has a hadith that's in Al-Nasa'i, hadith number 1275. It was described as him pointing the finger. Two points I want to make perfectly clear here. Point number one is, there are other books other ulama where you can find Abdullah ibn Zubair's hadith, him describing the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ, like Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, like Al-Imam al-Bazzar, like Al-Imam ibn Khuzaymah. I didn't write it here because you don't have those books, and many of us don't even know the books. So why am I wasting time and I need a board, I need the space? Everybody knows Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, all of them have been translated. So you go to those places and you'll find those hadith. That's point number one. Point number two, Ikhwan, pay attention to this point. Abdullah ibn Zubair, each one of these hadith is by a different chain of narration. It's just that in each chain of narration, Abdullah ibn Zubair is the companion who's narrating. What does that mean? In the hadith of Sahih Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim says, my sheikh told me that his sheikh told him that his sheikh told him that Abdullah ibn Zubair said, and he started to describe the Prophet's prayer. And he said he pointed only. And then that's one hadith with one chain. The second one in Muslim got another chain. Other than this one, and Imam Muslim said, my other sheikh told me that his sheikh told him that his sheikh told him that Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he described the Prophet's prayer, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are different chains of narration, but each of them end with Abdullah ibn Zubair. Same thing with Abu Dawud. Abu Dawud, this hadith 988. Abu Dawud said, my sheikh told me that his sheikh told him, all the way to Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he described the prayer. When he came to the shahad, he pointed. That's one chain of narration. This is another chain. So we have four chains of narration in front of you right now, in Sahih Muslim and the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and they're available. And the same thing with An-Nasa'i. Do you brothers understand that point? It's important you understand that point before we move on, because we're coming back to it. Don't think this is one chain of narration, the same chain here. No, it's different chains, different shuyukh. Muslim is taken from different shuyukh and Abu Dawud. Okay? So the point is, it's only mentioned, he pointed, no moving. The second hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. By the way, Ikhwan, it's very important to notice as a side issue, Abdullah ibn Zubair and Abdullah ibn Umar, they're from the Abadala. The Abadala. Anybody heard of the Abadala? Yeah. The people from the companions whose name is Abdullah. Sometimes the ulama, they'll just say, and this narration has been narrated by the Abadala. You have to know who they are. They are Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. They narrated more hadith than any other people. And then after them, Anas, Aisha, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and before them is Abu Huraira. Those eight companions are the Mukthirun. Many people say Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he's from the ulama, subhanAllah, the ulama of the companions, no doubt. Okay? Now we have Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. The hadith in Sahih Muslim, 580 and 581. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, hadith number 294. Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, and it is al-Nasa'i, not al-Nisa'i. Al-Nasa'i, from a place called Nasa. He was a Ajini. He wasn't an Arab. People say al-Nisa'i, al-Nisa'i. They say, that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, utitu khamsa, lam yu'tihinna ahad min qabri. I have been given five things, no one else was given them before me, meaning the companion, the prophet. He went on to say, وَنُسِرْتُ بِرُعْبٍ, the second thing. He said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضِ مَسْجِدٍ وَتُهُورًا فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّي وَنُسِرْتُ بِرُعْبٍ بِمَسِيرَةِ الشَّهْرِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that the earth is made a masjid and purify it for me. You can make tayammum from the earth. If the woman gets, if you got something, defecation on your feet, akramakumullah, you want to pray in your khufs or your shoes, just wipe it off with the earth. Salama was saying our things, we go over the nasty part. He said what comes after it, the dirt after that, will purify it. So the earth is a purifier and it's a masjid. So whenever the salah comes, pray it. He said, and I've been made victorious by a ru'ab. What is a ru'ab? Fear, terror. By a month's journey. So they say, before the Prophet ﷺ went out to get the people, it took him a month to get there. Soon as they heard the issue that he was coming, he was successful already. People were afraid. Wallahi akhi ha'ula'i rijal. Ha'ula'i humur rijal. Wallahi. So they say what? An-nisa'i. They say al-imam Abu Abdurrahman an-nisa'i. He came from this place where the Prophet was going to get his people, and then when they heard of him coming, they ran away and they didn't leave anything but the nisa'. So you know it's wrong, because it's not even an-nisa'i. It's an-nisa'i, and that's khurafat. Ya Sheikh, we don't need any khurafat. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa prayed for 60 years with the same wudu. Okay, Abdul Karim and Ibn Majah narrated the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, hadith number 913. Ikhwan, pay attention. Don't get sleepy and bored. Gotta keep your mind working. Each one of these hadiths, they were narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, and he was describing the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning to the end. And there are different chains of narration, different students. Every single one of them said, he pointed his finger. And then we have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, hadith number 3. Hadith number 3, pay attention. You see where I have 3 red stars next to the 3rd hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. The reason why I have 3 stars on this one is because something is taking place that's different. You gotta pay attention, Abu Ismail. What's taking place different here is one of the students of Abdullah ibn Umar came to him and he asked him about pointing the finger. In this hadith, he didn't describe the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked Abdullah ibn Umar, why do we point the finger? Like the brother asked me last night, Irwin. He said, what's the significance of pointing the finger? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went on to explain that the Prophet said about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَهِيَ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنَ الْحَدِيدِ. Pointing your finger like this is harder on shaitan than iron. Why? Because you are manifesting the kalimat of tawheed. Another clear dalil, ikhwan, about the importance of being people who are on the da'wah of monotheism. Shaitan, when he finds Bani Adam saying Jesus this, Jesus that, La ilaha, and doing all of that evil and all that, that stuff make him happy. There's nothing that makes him happy more than a man dying on kufr and shirk. There's nothing that makes him happy more than a man being split up from his wife. He love it. But when the people get into that salat, ikhwan, that's why we have to begin to train ourselves and have the tarbiyah to learn about the beauty of the salat that we have been, you know, unfortunate to, is stolen from us today. The brother told us a dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to say in the sajda. That if we were to really start to pray, akhi wallahi, the companion Uthman ibn Affan, he made the wudu. And he showed the people how to make the wudu. And then he said to the people, verily I saw the Prophet made this wudu that I just made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, anyone who makes the wudu like I just made it, and then he prays 2 raka'at, وَلَا يُحَدِّثُ نَفْسَهُ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. A man go to the bathroom and he just get up. All of my dhunub, all of my shortcomings, I'm going to concentrate. And I'm going to make a serious wudu, saving the water, making sure I get in all the parts. After that, I make the dua. I come and I'm thinking, I'm going to make this 2 rak'ah, and all I'm going to really get into is my salah. I'm going to think about everything that I say. Every dua, you get up, sorry. What sins you did before, get forgiven for. We don't have that lizard in the salah. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, here, the reason why we have the stars is because he didn't describe the prayer, he just talked about. Now this hadith, ikhwan, it can be found in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed with a senate that is hasan. In the chain of narration is a man by the name of Kathir ibn Zayd, and he is Saduq. He make a lot of mistakes. And that's why his hadith is Hasan. Because we told you the Sahih hadith has five conditions. Abu Ismail, you remember that? Five conditions. And the Hasan hadith is similar to the Sahih hadith, except that their dhabt is a little less. It's no tamam of dhabt. The five conditions for the hadith to be Sahih is, number one, ittisal as-sanad, for the chain of narration to be complete all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, al-adala. Every narrator has to have a good religion. He can't be a zindiq. He can't be a heretic. Number three, tamam al-dhabt, and his ability to record is perfect, either from his sabr, from his hifz, or from his kitab. He wrote it the way he heard it. Number four, it can't have a illa, and the illa is what? The hidden defect. When you look at it, it looks like it's correct. His name is Abdullah ibn Zubair. You think it's the companion, but it's really Abdullah ibn Zubair al-Humaydi, the Sheikh of al-Imam al-Bukhari. And this is what one of the scholars from the Hanafi Madhab made recently. Sheikh Nasser wrote a book about all of the games and the tricks that that guy played. His name is Habib al-Rahman al-A'zami. He was a scholar of hadith, but he was a deviant. He was Ma'turidi, and he was a scholar of hadith. He'll take one of us off and twist us up like a pretzel. You think Muhammad al-Ghazali from Egypt, غفر الله لنا وله, he was a man who had a lot of knowledge. It's just that they weren't on the right way. Yusuf Qardawi, those people have a lot of knowledge, akhi, they're not. Sahil, they have knowledge. Habib al-Rahman al-A'zami, he had the hadith. I mean, he had the hadith. He was like the ulama of hadith, except that he was on the Hanafi way, and he used to change the meaning of the hadith to make it mean what was on the Hanafi way. So that's where the illa is. You think it's him, but it's really someone else. And only a few scholars have the ability to detect. And the fifth thing is that it can't be shad. It can't have an irregularity. So here, ikhwan, right here, this hadith has the star for that reason and for the second reason. The second reason why we put a star here is because the people who say you should move your finger, they use this hadith as a proof, and they say, hadha lana, this is a proof for us. To point your finger like this is harder on the shaitan than the hadith. Say, no, that's not a proof. That's not a proof for a number of reasons. The first reason is, who narrated the hadith right here, akhi? Abdullah ibn Umar. Who narrated this hadith up here? That's in Sahih Muslim and at-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i ibn Majah. That says he only pointed. Abdullah ibn Umar, if this meant to shake it, he would have mentioned that. He would have explained it. Why wouldn't he explain it up here that you move it? In these hadiths where there are different narrators and different narrations, Abdullah ibn Umar told the people the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came to the tashahud part in these ahadith, he said he only pointed his finger. And he didn't go on to explain he pointed and he moved it. He said he only pointed his finger. So right here, it's harder on shaitan than the hadith. You have to bring the proof that he moved it. Well, he had. You have to bring the proof. Because the asl is, the rawi of the hadith is the a'lam person with what happened and what the hadith is saying. And number two, putting your finger like this without moving it, it doesn't establish the tawheed? It doesn't establish the oneness of Allah? While you're doing this and you're saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the gharat is still met. The goal and the objective of doing it is still met. Okay, ikhwan, we come to the fourth hadith. Now it's going to start getting a bit complicated. Anybody want me to start all over? Huh? الذي هو
where did we get the fact that that means the service to the Prophet?
No, he went on to mention it. Abdullah ibn Umar went on to explain. That was the reason. Now, and also there's a scholar, his name is Abdurrahman ibn Ahmed al-Banna. He's related to Hassan al-Banna. He explained the ahadith in the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he brings that statement as well. That's present today for us. Like Fathul Bari got an explanation. He serviced the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmed, and that's in it. The fourth hadith is the companion Abu Hamid or Abu Humaid al-Sa'adi, in which he described the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning to the end. In Abu Dawood, hadith 734, and in At-Tirmidhi, hadith number 293. Different chains of narration, but the narrator is Abu Humaid al-Sa'adi. He doesn't mention moving the finger. He mentions only he pointed with his finger. So all of those are the same. This is just a small variation right here, but that's understandable, self-explanatory. Am I correct, Ikhwan? Okay. Now we come to the fifth and final hadith with the three stars over it. Don't let the stars fool you now. Did you write those stars on your paper right here? Huh? Okay. The fifth hadith is on the companion Wa'il ibn Hajar or Wa'il ibn Hujar رضي الله عنهم أجمعين وقاتل الله من سبهم ومن وقع فيهم. There is only one chain of narration in which Wa'il ibn Hajar describes the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's not like Abdullah ibn Zubair, multiple chains other than him, multiple chains Abdullah ibn Umar other than him, multiple chains Abu Humayn. There's only one chain for Wa'il ibn Hajar. The one who took the hadith from Wa'il is Shihab ibn al-Majnun, whose son took it from him, whose name was Kulayb ibn Shihab ibn al-Majnun, whose son took it from him, Asim ibn Kulayb ibn Shihab ibn Majnun. Pay attention, Abu Ismail. I know you're tired. You go all the way to Tampa every day. You come back. Wallah, Allah didn't put two hearts in the breast of one man. Inshallah, Allah make it easy for you, ahi. Okay, this is where you have to open up your eyes. Ikhwan. One chain of narration. He took it from Wa'il. He took it from him. He took it from him. Now, Asim, many people took it from Asim. All of these people took it for Asim. Bashr ibn Mufaddal, he took this hadith. Bashr ibn Mufaddal said that Asim told him, that Kulayb told him, that Shihab told him, that Wa'il, and he went on to make the salah, and he only pointed his finger. That hadith is in Abu Dawood, the hadith of Bashr ibn Mufaddal, Abu Dawood, hadith 726. Shawba ibn al-Hujjaj, the first one to start making the taftish of the asanid from the people in Basra. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. Shawba, I told you. The umara of al-hadith are how many? How many did we say? How many did we say, Abu Dawud? How many did we say? The Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Hadith is the highest level of Hadith in the dunya. It's above Hafiz, it's above everybody. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, al-Imam Ahmed, al-Imam Muslim, al-Imam Malik, Sufyan al-Thawri, Yahya ibn Ma'in. Who else did we say? Yahya ibn Qattan, we said Sufyan al-Thawri. No, not Uyayna. Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Shu'bah ibn Hujjaj, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sufyan al-Thawri narrated this hadith from Asim. It's in Al-Nasa'i, hadith 1264. Sufyan ibn Uyayna narrated this hadith from al-Imam Asim. It's in al-Nasa'i, 1195. Abdullah ibn Idris, not many people know him. Abdullah ibn Idris is thiqah. He narrated the hadith from Asim in Ibn Majah, hadith 912. Abdullah ibn Ziyad, he narrated the hadith from Asim, and that Abdullah ibn Ziyad, and that's in the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmed. Zuhair ibn Muawiyah narrated the hadith from Asim, that's in the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmed. Khalid ibn Abdullah, thiqah. All of these people are reliable, they're thiqah. Khalid ibn Abdullah, he narrated this hadith from Asim. It's found in the Sunan of al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, al-Sunan al-Kubra, and not the Sughra. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Fudayl narrated this hadith from al-Imam Asim, and it can be found in the Sunan of al-Imam ibn Khuzaymah, hadith 713. Al-Imam Salam ibn Sulaym took the hadith from Asim. It's in the book of the Musnad of al-Imam al-Tayalisi, Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi. We don't know that book. It's a Musnad. It's important. Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi. And Abu Awana narrated this hadith from Asim, and it is in the Sunan of al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. Look, Ikhwan. There's a mistake right here. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, the reason why we put that star there is because Sufyan ibn Uyayna is the only scholar who used to make tadlis from the thiqat. There were everybody who made tadlis, they made tadlis either on some thiqat and some du'afa, or only on du'afa. Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, only made tadlis on the thiqat. And that's something that's tremendous. That's another dars, another talk in and of itself. Allahu Ta'ala preserve this religion, ahi, with these jibal of knowledge. Sufyan ibn Uyayna was in Mecca with al-Imam al-Shafi'i. When al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri came to Mecca and he was in hiding trying to run from the Khalifa of that time, Sufyan ibn Uyayna looked out for him. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, they said, if it wasn't for him, the knowledge of the people of Mecca would have went. Okay, Ikhwan, pay attention now. Look at these chain of narrations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 people took this hadith from Asim and Qulayb and Shihab ibn Majnun and Wa'il ibn Hajar. Each and every one of these men said that he described the prayer of the Prophet, and he didn't, he just pointed straight. Each and every one of them, he's the only one who took this hadith from him. And they all took it from him. Each and every one of them who took this hadith from him, when they described it in these different places, you go back and you look. Al-Nasa'i. You have to go back and look. Look for this hadith, 1195 in al-Nasa'i. 726 Abu Dawud. Go back and look for 713 Ibn Khuzaym if you had that. You will find that they all say that he said the Prophet did this, he did that, he did this. When he came to the tashahhud, he only pointed. Now, here goes the curveball. Zaida ibn Qudama is thiqah. He's reliable. He has to be put on this line because he is the 13th person from amongst these people who is thiqah, who took this hadith from Asim. He's the only one who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Wa'il described the prayer, and then he said, and he pointed and he moved his finger. He's the only one who said that. The only one who said that narration. You understand? Abdul Shadid. Abu Shaheed. Abdul Shaheed. Yeah. Ikhwan, Zaida ibn Qudama is thiqah. In An-Nasa'i, hadith 1268. You all have that. You'll go back and you'll find, compare hadith 1268 in An-Nisa'i, compare that hadith with the hadith 1195, with the hadith 1269, with the hadith 1275. Compare those hadith with 1268 in An-Nisa'i. All of those hadith say he pointed his finger. This is the only one that say he moved his finger. This is the only one. The only one. Now, Juan, don't get mixed up about two things. Number one, there are other people who took this hadith from Asim, but they're weak. They're weak people. We're not concerned about them. We're only concerned about the thiqah. That's number one. Number two, Abu Dawud. Number two, don't get caught up on this. Look at these narrations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Not just this right here. All of those people are different narrators than this chain of narration, but it's saying the same thing. Not a single one who took it from this sheikh said what he said, nor did any of these other people say what he said. Nah, we're coming to that. And they are all thicker too, all of them. Ah, that's a good point. We're coming to that. We're coming. You think Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Bani, you don't know that. Abu Sami, you think Nasir al-Din al-Bani, you don't know that. You know that. The Sheikh doesn't know. So now, Ikhwan, you all got that point now? That is Shaz. The definition of the Shaz hadith is what, Abu Dawud? La, the hadith that is Shaz is what? No, what's the meaning, the istilah, the definition of it? Naam. It's the narrator who is thiqah, reliable. And I know you know that. It's the narrator who is thiqah saying something in contradiction to people who are thiqah or people who are more thiqah than him. That's what a shadh is. The opposite of the shadh hadith is what? The munkar hadith. It's when a person who is da'if takes a position that is in contradiction to a person who is thiqah or a number of people who are thiqah or a person who is more, no, just thiqah or thaqat, because he's going to be awthaq minhu by virtue of the fact he's thiqah. Okay? Now look what I'm about to show you, ikhwan. Zaida is thiqah. Don't anyone look at Zaida as being something wrong with him. Because the shabab, they have this problem of at-tatarruf and itraf and taqreef and itraf and what? Al-ifrat wa tafreef. Going too overboard to the right and the left. They see Zaida, they want to throw him out of the window. How does Zaida do this all by himself? Zaida is thiqah, an imam from the imma of al-Islam. Zaida is thiqah, and he's saying something that a group of thiqah people are not saying. And it's a real irregularity, number one. He's saying something that some of these people are much more bigger than Zaida. People like who? Shu'ba ibn al-Hujjaj is Amir al-Mu'mineen in Hadith. He's awthaq from him. Sufyan al-Thawri, awthaq than Zaida. Abu Awana has his own musnad. He has a book similar to Sahih Bukhari. He has a serious book of Hadith. You are not a serious student of knowledge if you don't have the musnad of Al-Imam Abu Awana. You have that book? Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna is greater than Zaida. Those are the people we know for sure are awthaq. No doubt about that. No doubt about that, they're bigger than. There are others who are bigger, but that is the ittifaq. No doubt, no ikhtilaf about that with the scholars. So we have at least 14 thaqat contradicting Zaida, and from them four are more awthaq than he is. Shu'ba is awthaq. Sufyan al-Thawri is awthaq. Sufyan ibn Uyayna is awthaq. as well as Abu Awana. Ikhwan, before we go on to the issue that was brought up by our brother Abu Sara, أكرمهم الله وأدخل في بيتهم الكرم والشرف. There's a hadith that says Abdullah ibn Zubair gave a chain of narration that's in the Sunan of al-Imam Abu Dawood, hadith number 989 in Abu Dawood. The hadith says that Abdullah ibn Zubair described the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Abu Dawood 989, and not 988 or 990. 989. He described the prayer from the beginning to the end, and then he said that Abdullah ibn Zubair said, and he did not move it. Now, pay attention. Dawood al-Haddad. Abdullah ibn Zubair in the hadith of Abu Dawood, number 989, Abdullah ibn Zubair, there's a narration, chain of narration that comes, in which they said that Abdullah ibn Zubair described the prayer of the Prophet from the beginning to the end, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abdullah ibn Zubair, after describing the tashahud, he said he pointed his finger and he didn't move it. He pointed his finger and he didn't move it. All of these hadith said he pointed his finger only. The hadith of Zaidah is saying he pointed his finger and he moved it. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubair, that's 989 in Abu Dawud, said he didn't move it. You see the difference? This hadith is shaz. It's weak. It's weak for a number of reasons. Ikhwan, ash-shadhud, the shidda, the shadhud, it takes place in the metin, and it takes place in the sanad, in the chain of narration, as well as in the statement. Here, it's taking place in the chain of narration, as well as in the metin. It's taking place, the shavud is taking place in the metin, because up here, Abdullah ibn Zubair, what did he say? He said that he only pointed it in Sahih Muslim, in Abu Dawud and Nasai, and those narrators are stronger than the narrators who narrated this. So it's a shadhud in the metin, in the statement. And it's also shadhud in the chain of narration, because you have the people in the chain of narration in one hadith narrating on this one, and another one they're saying it's narrating on another person. So there's some problem. That's where we're going to stop on that issue, because it's going to get too complicated. Now we go on to the mas'ala of our brother Abu Sara. Our Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani hafizahullahu ta'ala, he wrote in the book Tamam al-Minna a refutation on what we're putting forth right now. And the Shaykh, concerning the issue of the ziyadat al-thiqah, there's this thing where if a person who is thiqah, he brings some additional information, like all of you guys are reliable. Each one of you says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid on his right side after praying two rak'ahs in his house before Fajr, and he rested and he laid on his right side. All of you are thiqah. And then Zaidah ibn Qudama also is a thiqah like you, and he's your contemporary. He comes and he says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says the same thing all of you say. He laid on his left side after praying the two rak'ahs before Fajr, he laid on his right side, and he put his hand up like this, and his head was like this. He's the only one mentioning this. No one else mentioned that. This is ziyadat al-thiqah. And the reason why this is accepted by him here is, it's not contradicting this, him being on his right side. He's just bringing additional information. There's no contradiction here. There is nothing, you can make the jama, and you can see how he's on his right side. He hasn't said anything that's irregular. He just said something that brings additional information. So even if the people didn't say it, it's not like him saying he laid on his left side. Now there's a problem. You can't. It's not a ziyad of the thiqa. It's shad now. So here, Zaida ibn Qudama, what he did here is he's bringing a statement that's opposite. They're saying here. Listen, they're saying here. Number one, he sat there, he made the salah, and he pointed it. On top of that, Abdullah ibn Umar explained with his statement, being that he was the narrator of this hadith, that it was ashad ala shaytan from the hadith, and he didn't explain that it was any movement in it. If there was some movement in it, he would have explained it. He didn't explain that. Thirdly, this issue of salat is the salat that the Prophet prayed how many prayers in 10 years in Medina? He prayed a lot. Not a single person actually came and said that. Not a single person came and made it clear. That's number one. Number two, Ikhwan, in the Silsilat of Da'ifa to Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani. In volume number 2, hadith number 102, and hadith number 106. Go back and check it out. In the Silsilat al-Hadith of Da'ifa, volume number 2, hadith 102 and another hadith 106, Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani brings some chains of narration with Zaida ibn Qudama in it, in which he gives hadith which are shaz. And those hadith are stronger than this hadith. In the silsila, al-ahadith of da'ifa, Sheikh Nasir brings some other hadith on different issues other than this, in which Zaida ibn Qudama, who is thiqa, is in the chain of narration. He's saying something irregular to what people are thiqa are saying. Sheikh Nasir said this hadith is shad. You understand? And those hadith are stronger than this hadith. So how are you going to give the hukum on those as being shad and this is not being shad? I wasn't able to get the book, actually. I wanted to get the book. You go back and you find it out. They'll go to information for you. Taifa, number 2. The other thing, Ikhwan, is this. Putting your hands on your chest when you come up from rukuk. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah wa hafidhahullah, he say, you should put your hands back up on your chest like this. And that's the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmed. Just like it's the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmed over here, that you should move your finger vigorously based upon this hadith. Al-Imam Ahmed understood from this, you should move your hand vigorously, your finger. Okay? Sheikh Ibn Baz and those other ulama from the Hanabila, they say, when you come up from the ruku' and you Allah, Sami Allah, you should put your hands back on your chest. Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he said, is it conceivable that a prayer like an issue like this, all those years that the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of the people, they described this prayer to the T. And not a single companion is going to come and he's going to show us this. Not a single one tells us this. All those years he's going to pray. And Sheikh Nasir rejects that opinion based upon that line of thinking. The Hanabila, they have a statement of Al-Imam Ahmed, just like Sheikh Nasir has a statement of Ahmed over here. And the Hanabila, this is their opinion over here, that Sheikh Nasir rejects and he says it's a bid'ah. No, but I'm saying he didn't mention anything about ziyada. That's the thing in the Tamam al-Minna. That wasn't one of the arguments that he was speaking about. He was saying that this hadith proves other stuff, and he didn't get into that. For whatever reason, I don't know. Which causes me to say, what? I can't blindly follow the Sheikh after being introduced to this until I see what the Sheikh is saying. Another thing, Akhi Mahmoud, and this is really important. I have three three taba'a, prints of the Sunan of Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i. I haven't seen yet, and I was looking for this hadith since I got Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi. Sheikh Nasser says, when you go and you pray the salat that has three or four rak'at, you should sit muftarish, like this. You should end three or four like that. And he said that hadith is in Al-Nasa'i. Wallahi, I haven't found that hadith yet. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I haven't found that hadith yet. And there's a general hadith that says, you should sit like that, you should sit like that when you end your prayer. So I've seen people, and from the people of knowledge, who after praying two rak'at of sunnah or of fajr, sitting, how Sheikh Nasser say you should sit, three and four rak'at. Up until this point, I have never seen the hadith in Al-Nasa'i. Based upon that, I'm just going to blindly follow the Shaykh because he said it's in Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi. So now the issue comes to what? The issue comes to what your heart is easy with, what you have the ability to do. You're not forced to blindly follow anyone. You're not comfortable with all it. Look, I'm not going to follow this hadith after all of that. Now, it's clear. We have to, our minhajis. Look, man, you think you're more knowledgeable than Sheikh Nasser Deen al-Dani? No. And who's going to say that in his right mind? And he has points of view that you can understand, like linguistically, he said. All of these hadiths that establish he only pointed, he said that the ishara in the Arabic language can mean a tahriq kadhalik. He said the proof of that is the hadith when he came in upon the people and they began to get up to greet him. فَأَشَارَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يَجْلَسُوا. So he pointed to them to sit. Yani Aish. And he didn't mention moving his hand. Ashara ilayhim an yajlisu. He pointed to them to sit. And the word that was used was point. So you don't understand from that Arabic that he did like this. And people understood, sit down. Right? You don't understand he did that. So linguistically it can be understood that al-ishara can have some tahriq. So that, maybe. So then the other person can say, that qad, that they're saying it can mean that, that qad tatfa'uha qaddat ukhra. No. Maybe they just understood, yeah, you could just do like that. It's an ihtimal that's da'if, but it's an ihtimal nonetheless. And you don't have any dalil qati' that means he really did that. So we taught the brothers a qa'ida fiqhiyah. And that qa'ida was what? إِذَا وَرَدَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَطَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. No. إِذَا وَرَدَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَطَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. يعني إيش أبو عبد الله؟ احتمال فعل هذا. ولكن احتمال آخر لم يفعله. أنت لا تستطيع أن تأتي وتلزمني بهذا الفهم. Look, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Is there any shock, any doubt that there's another religion accepted to Allah other than Al-Islam? That's a dalil qati'. No doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. But whenever you bring a possibility and I bring a possibility, you can't make your possibility have more superiority over my possibility as a proof. I have to recognize and I have to i'taraf, I have to say the ihtimal of him pointing like this for them to sit down, more than likely it makes more sense. That's the ihtimal that's aqwa and arjah. But nonetheless, it's only an ihtimal. And this other thing is another ihtimal. So I can't ulzimuka and you can't tulzimni. So إذا ورد الاحتمال بطل الاستدلال. And the meaning of بطل الاستدلال يعني الالزام فيما تستدل به. No, you all can ask questions now.
If you understand from the question, from the way that the Sheikh explained it, that it's this movement, this type of movement, What I understand is it is actually pointing, but it's moving the finger slightly. So it can be just pointing to most of the viewers and still moving it like this. It's a very, very slight move.
Okay, the problem with that is a few things. Number one, why would the Sheikh bring the statement of Ahmed ibn Hanbal to move it vigorously? Very slight? Okay, then I say, the next person that's the ihtimal, the next person says, okay, point it vigorously without moving it.
But you have that hadith that it is thiqa. Okay? And it's not in contradiction. It's still pointing, but you're adding a movement to it.
The other thing I didn't finish. The other thing that the problem with that is, I don't see Zaida ibn Qudama possibly all of those thiqat, all of them. Bima fihim, Amiran, in the hadith. Shawbat ibn al-Hujjaj, who was well known for what? In order to be the Amir Mu'mineen, Shawbat ibn al-Hujjaj and Sufyan al-Thawri, they were a few from the handful of those scholars who had the ability to detect those little things in the hadith. You know, the illa. Not that this is an illa as such, but they had the ability to do that. Zaida gets it, Shawbah doesn't get it, Sufyan doesn't get it, Sufyan ibn Uyayna doesn't get it, Abu Awana, it's possible. Abdullah ibn Umar, he got it right. Umar, Abu Bakr, and the rest of the companions didn't get it about the nakh. Which tree is like the mu'min? When the Prophet asked them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar got it. It's possible. But it's highly unlikely here, and Allah knows best. So I'm saying, this is what I'm saying to you. My heart, from what I understand, it's very hard to conceive that all of those people are going to be on what they're on, and then that pass them by. The hadith of Zaida. And Allah knows best. Naam ya akhi Abu Abdullah. In English, ya Sheikh. Alright, let me explain to you.
I understand this is clearly that it would go like this. I mean, the probability that it would go like this is
low.
Very minute.
Yeah.
Very small. That's understood. But comparing it to pointing the finger and taking it as proof that it would be moved just like the other one meant move, then I would say move it just like this, not do like this. Because
it's not an analogy. You can't call this qiyas here. He's making the istinbat. That's a better word, more appropriate. And that he's showing here, in all of these hadiths, the word that was used by the companions to describe what had happened was, he pointed a shara with his finger. So he brought that hadith, which is an argument. Anytime you want to prove something in Arabic language, you prove it with the Quran, the Sunnah, the poetry of the people of the past. You understand? Like, you know, Abu is from the Asma al-Khamsa, right? That it can become Abu when it's marfu', Aba when it is mansub, and Abi when it is majrur, right? But there's poetry to some of those Arabs where they say Ya Abu. They didn't always say Ya Aba. So you bring that poetry from the times of Jahiliyyah where they say Ya Abu, even though they consider it to be Shad, is there. So you can use it as a proof, but it's not the standard. So what the Shaykh is trying to do, Rahimahullah wa Hafidhullah, is show how the word ashara in the Arabic language can imply moving. It doesn't just mean keeping it straight. And that's the proof of the hadith. He moved, he put his hand up, and he said, ashara ilayhim and yajlisu. He pointed to them. And it didn't say, ashara ilayhim wa harraka yadahu and yajlisu.
But in the context, when he's saying, when he's used to mean sit down, that's what makes us understand that his hand would go down like this. It's in the context, not by itself, but the word ashara by itself, nobody can prove from any dictionary that it means move.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You know what
Abu
I'm
Abdullah,
saying?
Now, what happens is, I understand where your ishkal can come from. It's kind of clear to me, but the thing is, in order for me to answer what you're putting forth right now with some clear, strong arguments, I need some serious dhikkah that I don't have in the language and some other arguments, and I don't have that. So, yeah, because I understand the ishkal that you're saying. Okay, why wouldn't, this is ishara, why wouldn't it be minute and detailed and say, okay, it means he did like this or something? That's going to need some real, you know, deep, profound knowledge. I don't have, but I see what the Sheikh was doing here. But we can look into that, inshallah. Naam, akhi, it's Ibrahim. Now I'm sure what the brother just said, and that's a beautiful point about the richness of the knowledge of Islam and the sciences of Islam and the language, is if you went back to the origin of the ishara and what it's for, and the adat al-ishara, those things that are used to designate pointing, I'm sure you can come out of there with, you know, explanations along with usul al-fiqh. Why wouldn't it just be, why, since he said this, if he's going to use it for that, why wouldn't it mean that he did that as well to tell him to sit down and all of that? So I'm just saying that that's a realm where I don't think we are qualified, I'm qualified for that discussion. I only know Imam Ahmed, but we don't accept the actions of the people of Medina as being from the masadir of a tashri', because they are some of the ummah and they're not all of the ummah. So how is their position going to be, you know, compulsory upon all of the other people? Al-Imam Malik nafsuhu, when he was asked by the Khalifa al-Mansur to make his book Al-Muwatta, the Dastur of the Islamic Empire, he said, there's not a single man except that some of the Sunnah passed them by. My Muwatta is not complete, all of the Sunnah. Al-Imam Malik is the one, rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu, wa jama'a Allahu baynana wa baynahu yawm al-qiyamah. He said, what? There's not a person except that his statement is accepted and rejected, except that person of that grade, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So that's really an opinion that is marjuh with the ulama of Islam, that the actions of the people of Medina is an argument, even though they have a wujhatun nazar, they have some wisdom as to why they said that. And Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, when this was his opinion, he was discussing this issue with a scholar who had a problem with him. There was some tanafis and some problems between them. Ibn Abi Dhib kaffara al-Imam Malik, because al-Imam Malik, he, concerning the hadith, al-bay'iyan bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa, he used this hadith, al-Imam Ibn Abi Dhib, he said this hadith, al-Imam Malik said no, we are upon the actions of the people of Medina. We don't do that. If a man buys and sells and he goes and he finds a defect or he want to change his mind, in Medina the earth, you can come back and you can replace and get more, get less. That's what they were doing. Ibn Abi Dhib said, you stataab al-Imam Malik. And if he doesn't make the tawbah, yudrub uruq. He should be killed. He's a kafir. But anyway, when he came to discuss and to debate with Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Malik wanted to prove how the actions of the people in Medina are closer to Rasulullah's time. So he told the people who were visitors to Medina from Al-Iraq, from Khurasan, from everywhere, he said, bring to me the utensil that you have to measure the mud. To measure the mud. You know, the sa'a, you know. So the people started bringing their stuff from where their different places they were at. Mecca, Khurasan, this place, that, Bukhara, everywhere. They put it all there. So they got something, raisin dates, I don't remember, they got it, they put it, and they poured it with each one. Okay, this is from Khurasan, this is from Bukhara, this is from here, this is from Sham, this is from here. And Imam Malik brought forth a utensil. And he brought it, and he poured it out. It was a different weight than all of that other stuff. And he said, this is the utensil that belonged to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his wife so and so and so and so was in his house. And it's different from all of this stuff. So nobody can deny that is that measurement during his time. So he's saying, see, our measurement is closer. And what we're doing is closer by virtue of the fact that we're in Medina where Islam spread forth. But the people said, no, that's a weak opinion because you don't have the Prophet with you right now, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So almost all of the people, well, you want me, what are you pointing to, Akhi? No, actually, Akhi, there are hadith that support it, and really. And where ikhtilaf does it fall in? Go ahead.
But now, but, you know, as a summary of what I understand now, you present the Prophet like four ways to describing the philosophy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prayer.
Five ways.
Four. By Abdullah Muhammad.
Yeah, four. Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And all of these, at least 14 of these different ways, you said only ashara or pointed, and one way said ashara and move.
Right.
Okay. And then it is up to me now to decide what to do.
Well, it's up to you to decide what you feel comfortable with. You understand? On one hand, you have Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, who knows all of this stuff, but Sheikh Nasir al-Din, Akhi, he's been refuted. Here's a book in which Mustafa al-Adawi refuted the Sheikh about wearing the circular gold for the women. And the Haqq is with Abu Abdullah, and Allah knows best, wallahi. He has some adab, and he brings the adilla. Here's a refutation by the Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Sindi, who was our Sheikh in Medina. He was from Pakistan, from Ahl al-Sunnah, from Ahl al-Hadith. He was Sindi, from Sindh. He did a rub on him in the Hijab. The Haqq wasn't with the Sheikh. May Allah have mercy upon him. I left the other books at home. The rub of Bakr Abu Zayd about the Sheikh. In this issue even, in the issue of the Ajin, it's called La Jadid Fi Ahkam al-Sala. And he made a refutation against Sheikh Nasir that you can't come with this new hadith about the Ajin. But the Haqq was with Sheikh Nasir. So people of knowledge are refuting Sheikh Nasir al-Din in some things, and Sheikh Nasir, he comes back. Like the issue of the Adhan and the Iqama, the Adhan and the Air of the Mawlud. Sheikh Nasir said it was authentic hadith for a long time. And the people say, Sheikh, how is it authentic? Look what's happening. And he changed his opinion. And it was written in books. Many of us used to follow that opinion. As a matter of fact, I remember when we first came to the Dawah, that was many of our opinions, that you make the adhan in the ear. And it's the left ear that's a weak hadith. Shuf, diqqatana. This is our diqqa. The right ear adhan, left ear is da'if. The iqama. Now all of that now, we come to know. You see what I'm saying? So it's really, Akhi, we regular people, different levels, you find what's easy for you. I can see why this can be ziyadat al-thiqa. It's not like it's in left field, ziyadat al-thiqa. It's not like it's way off. It's not like it's way off. My heart feels more serene, more comfortable with all of that. and Sheikh Nasser didn't give a discussion about Ziyadat al-Thiqah. Now, Ikhwan, this is our humble attempt to make a tajriba. What is tajriba? Experiment amongst ourselves. I've never seen where people made an attempt to come together to try to figure out an issue like this amongst themselves to see what you're going to do. Now, inshallah, it's not going to be a fitna.
No.
When we make salat, everybody's going to be looking at you as one thing. No, we're not going to do that. Wallahi, this is our way of trying to make the taqarrub in Allah with knowledge and the effort. And hopefully Allah Ta'ala give us it'll give us our reward for, you know, fadliyat.
I think
go ahead, man.
Now, for you, I know that you like to do it just like this. If we pray behind you, do we have to do it just like this?
Hey, that's a good point, akhi, mashallah. Dawood al-Haddad was about to make that same point, just for the record. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا جُئِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. The Imam has been made to be followed. And he went on, فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا قَرَأَ فَانْصِتُوا. And he went on through the whole thing. You know that one of the arkan of the prayer is the tashahud. One of the arkan of the prayer is the sajda. If the Imam doesn't make the tashahud and he gets right up from second rakat, he's supposed to stay down, he gets right up. He leaves out a sajda, whatever. We have to follow him. And we have to leave off the rukun. And we have to tell him, hey, you don't know the mistake. SubhanAllah. If he doesn't, yatanabba, he doesn't pay attention. After the salat, we say, hey, you did a mistake. Everybody say, yeah, you did a mistake. He got to go over in the salat, and he makes the sajda as sahu. But we follow him in that thing that he left off. So Sheikh Nasruddin himself, he said, I feel putting the hands back on the chest after ruku is a bid'ah. But if I'm praying behind an imam who does it, I'm going to do it. Because of that hadith. That's what the Sheikh said.
What hadith did they use?
That's, yes, sir. That the place of the hands in the qiyam is on the chest. The place.
Is a hadith like that?
No, nah, it's a general statement.
It's a general statement where they hand.
What's the hadith, Akhi?
No, that's a full
hadith. There are a lot of hadith. I mean, when they went and they made Hajj. Uthman was the Khalifa. Uthman completed the Salat, and Abdullah ibn Abbas completed the. They say, hey, you know what he's doing? He said, Inna fi khilaf sharran. There's evil in ikhtilaf. Look, the hadith of the Prophet, in asabu falakum walahum, wa in akhtaw falakum walahum. So that's the answer. If the person is doing this, can you do it? But this is one of the issues. You can't see it sometimes, so you ain't responsible for it. You can't see it, so you're not responsible for it. If you're standing behind the imam and you can't see it, you do what you do.
Everything that the imam does. What about things imams who do things that are against the sunnah? I mean, the sunnah will be lost.
No, akhi, it goes back to the statement of Ibn Uthaymiyyah, Sheikh. If they make the ikhtilaf in what yaqtadihi al-dalil, there's proof for him to have this thing, then you do it.
Authentic proof or just
authentic, or it has a wajhat al-nadhar. Now,
what if you pray behind a person who does this? Would you do it also?
There's no wajhat al-nadhar for that, but if a person did it,
is there a wajhat al-nadhar for this when you go back from Rukuh? Is there a hadith that says it, or a general statement?
General statement.
So why would we follow?
Because of that hadith. Now, if you don't want to do that, if you don't see it like that, I sat with... No, listen. I sat with... It's just like this.
Yeah.
I sat with the Sheikh Abu Hatim Usama Al-Qusi. He said, no, you don't do what the Imam did and everything. This hadith, huh?
Only mistakes you follow?
He said, you should follow the Sunnah and follow what's correct and what you know. And he brought those adillah. Follow Rasulullah, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, and all of that stuff like that. So it's just like that. It depends on where you. So I gave you the opinion of Sheikh Nasir al-Din, but it's up to you how you feel. He has a strong opinion. You're going to follow that imam in the arkan of salat that he left out? From adunuhu, how are you not going to follow?
No, that's for sahur is a different story.
How is it a different story? Now you got to bring how is it different. He left off a rukun. You had the opportunity not to move. You had the opportunity not to make no sahur. You could stay there and say, I'm not following you because you did wrong.
No, that's not. That's the mistake. That's sahur. He's going
to
correct it.
Okay, still. But the point what I'm saying to you is, what you guys want to discuss and debate, that issue I'm saying to you, it depends on what you're comfortable with, what you want to do. I'm not here to defend this, I'm not here to defend that. If you feel that's a mistake, I ain't following that, whatever, you got Adilla to show you that. He said to you, what? These are arkan. Okay, you want to you want to refute that, he'll refute the same thing you're saying as well. And ultimately, people have to do what they're comfortable with. Those are not the type of issues where I'm going to look at a man and say, something wrong with your Islam, something wrong with your fahm, something wrong with your fiqh. No, because you arrived at a conclusion and what the dalil has allowed you to arrive to. And that's why the ikhtilaf of those people is a rahmah. Because if you take with that and he take with that, alhamdulillah. Whereas if it was just all, everything was the same, if you went against that, then you were astray. You have a problem. You understand? هذا نعم أخي لقمان.
Alhamdulillah, we got through this session. I had seen something in the Prophet's prayer book on being in Sajda. And one hadith said that Rasulullah saw someone spread his hands as wide as his shoulders, right? Then it said he went as wide as a baby lamp and walked through.
When he used to make sajda, he used to have his hands like that. That's clear. No problem with that. And also, when he used to make sajda, they used to see the white from his armpit, which is a proof he wasn't a black man, as some of those idiots say. Why you have to be a black man, Yasha? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was clearly described for us. He used to make the taslim like that, and he said, on the left side, you can see his white cheek. The Bedouin came and grabbed him by his collar. When he let him go, you can see the mark that you can't see that in black people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't white and he wasn't black. He was like qamhi, like them. He was like this. Right. So he used to have his hands open enough when he prayed where a small sheep can go. So you don't go too far overboard like that. And you shouldn't have it in like that. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why the scholars say you shouldn't read the Quran in Ramadan, because when you read from the Quran and you go to make the sajda, some people put the Quran under their arm like that and then they read that sunnah, because you never invent something except you're going to lose the sunnah in the process of trying to do that thing that you're trying to do. So if you're praying by yourself, open your arms. But if you're praying with the people, take it easy with the people. And I want to end on that note. Sometimes people come into our masjid who are from Africa, who are from Bangladesh, who are from Pakistan. Those people don't know nothing about putting their feet straight, feet to feet, shoulder to shoulder, so we can't run them off on that issue. We can't start getting them. I went to Pittsburgh one time, and the brother before used to pray, wallahi, used to take about 10 minutes, akhi, to start to pray. He would go one by one, pushing everybody up and down, up and down, up and down. He's the one who's moving you. You're straight already, but he will push you up and down, up and down. And then he'll look, and he'll come back down again and just be pushing everybody up and down. So when I was playing with them for the first time, and I looked around to some of the Arab brothers who had came to listen to the dars, I can see that there was some ihraj. They were agitated by that. The long delay in that, you know, ta'amuk. So those people who come to the masjid and we see them and we see how they stand, we see how they are, we don't want to give them a reason to leave hating us and what we're upon. Let them pray like that. It's just that if you see them like that on the end, we try to start from the other end. Let them be the last ones. And then we're going to win them over with our mu'amala, how we work with them, how we do it. We say, okay, we're going to let them get that one off right now. We're going to let you go with that. But then after that, we're going to bring them some jewels. Want to say, Sheikh, where you from? Inshallah. You know, probably I was from that part of Africa too. And you start getting them like that. That's how you got to get them, Achi. Some people want to just get them right away. Put your feet together. Bilal used to hit him in the feet with his... Oh yeah, Sheikh. You can't hit him in the toes now. Now, I'm Abdullah.
Now I was just going to ask, what if you're on the end and you're not between two feet? You're not praying by yourself. What if you're on the end and you got this armor?
No, it's better to take it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it natural. لا يكلف الله. Just take it easy. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.